We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so Ben wants the Steelers to sign a veteran receiver. That was from his podcast. And Doug Whaley said on the morning show this week, this would have been yesterday, that he thinks the Steelers would benefit more from a wide receiver than a left tackle. He thinks a wide receiver helps them out more than a tackle. Now, the Steelers, I think, wholeheartedly disagree with that, or they think they can get another difference-making wide receiver later in the draft because they're not really making an effort to scout the top wide receivers in the draft. They didn't go to Jordan Addison's pro day. I don't know if they went to the TCU pro day to see their receiver. They probably didn't, if that's happened yet. I'd have to double check on that. But nothing suggests they didn't go to Odell Beckham Jr.'s workout. So they didn't even want to do their homework on the guy.
TCU's pro day. Hold on. Well, they held it in. They held it right around today, like a year ago. It was March 25th. The TCU pro day this year is Chalooch, March 30th.
Okay.
So they still could have a chance.
But either
at going.
Way,
but
they're probably, I doubt they'll go.
They're not in.
Odell Beckham Jr. is on his way to the Jets, or so it seems. DeAndre Hopkins. Pac-Man Jones went on McAfee's show today and said, I talked to Hopkins, and these are the list of teams that he's narrowed it down to.
Didn't Pac-Man also say the money would be right? He doesn't want a ton, but then people had to point out to Pac-Man that he's under contract and would need to be traded, and that like what he was saying was completely irrelevant.
And he had his no-trade clause. DeAndre Hopkins had his trade clause voided per the PED suspension. That was part of the...
He can get sent anywhere.
That was part of the after effect of that.
Well, I think I would quickly say to Whaley's point, to sort of Ben's point about a veteran wide receiver or just wide receivers in general, that seems to be the prevailing sentiment. I think we've had PFF. I think we've had Steve Palazzolo on before. I'll reiterate that with him later today, later this hour even, that they feel a wide receiver is more like in the draft, all things being equal, you can help a young quarterback more with a wide receiver than a tackle or a lineman. Like that you want as many weapons as you can to surround a guy. But it's funny, Andy Weidel is putting together their board. Andy Weidel comes from the Eagles, where they have built through the trenches and been great in the trenches. But they've done both with Howie Roseman. They build through the trenches, they have these stud lines, but then they execute a blockbuster trade to bring in A.J. Brown, who totally helps overhaul Jalen Hurts in his second year as a starter or whatever it was. Third year even. Like they didn't stand pat on either front. Right, so you can't just take the Andy Weidel is an Eagles guy and is going to build the Eagles way approach with this particular question, because they did both. They said if some help is good, more is better. Let's do everything for our young quarterback. Where do you come down on this? Because what I struggle with is so many people want to get Dan Moore removed as a starter. So many people want to fix tackle. And yet my eyes told me last year that while he was definitely a work in progress at best, when he was run blocking, he was moving people, and he wasn't getting completely snowed under as a pass blocker. Like, I think there was a legitimate criticism or evaluation of Pickett last year where he was just a rookie with happy feet at times, which is what most rookies are back there, and that he occasionally ran himself or moved himself into a line of fire.
Okay, so this is how I answer that question. If you told me right now that they were going to either draft Broderick Jones, okay, or they were going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins, which move would make me feel like, okay, the Steelers mean business, they're a serious contender? It's DeAndre Hopkins. Because even with a left tackle who you think is going to be good, and I'm not down on Broderick Jones either, if they made that pick at 17, I'd be perfectly fine with it. But let's be honest. I don't think I would look at that move and say, all right, I've got the Steelers at 8 and 9. Now I've got them at 9 and 8, drafting a left tackle. If they brought in a wide receiver who I think is a legitimate top 30 wide receiver, somebody like that, and now it's like, well, maybe their left tackle is going to be a guy that they take 32nd or whatever, or maybe it's Dan Moore for another year, but I've got DeAndre Hopkins, Deontay Johnson, and George Pickens. Like that opens, that was the Orlovsky argument the entire time. And it sounds like Roethlisberger agrees with it. And it sounds like Whaley agrees with it too. Because when you actually say it out loud, when you actually like think about how you would feel about the roster with the addition of that player and the and like the emotions that you would have that would come pouring out of you. Mm. The Bengals thing where it's like, how do you stop all these wide receivers? For me, wins out.
Well, like, the answer has been hit the snot out of Joe Burrow because Jonah Williams or whoever they have at left tackle can't protect the broadside of a barn. But yeah, I get your point. I think they were validated in their decision to take Ja'Marr Chase. The weird thing there is Penei Sewell over at right tackle for the Lions has looked like a monster.
Yeah, he's been a really good player. That wasn't a bad pick by the Lions.
No.
But it wasn't a mistake by the Bengals to take Chase, not even close.
Well, I think that then what you're asking really is you'd say Hopkins makes you feel like they're serious about contending right away because he's an established veteran. If you take Broderick Jones, if he's there, you are seen as building, right? You're building something around Kenny Pickett. You are feeling like George Pickens will make that leap this
year.
I'm
more saying, like, what do they need more? I think a playmaker over an offensive tackle when I think about it that way.
Isn't the hope, though, that you already have that you have two things here? The playmaker in waiting in Pickens is going to explode with Pickett, if
yep.
you believe that. And then don't you – I know you don't believe this, but I would think most people around the league would say playmaker number two is the wide receiver who just suffered like a fluke year where he didn't catch a touchdown.
I think Johnson will be better than he was with zero touchdowns last year and a ton of drops in big games. But that's still only two guys, Chris. You're still talking about two players.
Well, that's where I think the NFL is different now, where like people would say, well, what about Harris and Freiermuth? And I think most people in the NFL would say if you have essentially three starting cornerbacks on any given starting 11 on defense, you better have three starting wide receivers, which right now they've got two, and your buddy, little Calvin Austin, a very small, very petite question mark, who hasn't played because of injury. Now, I do not for a second buy the idea that you can just put your hope in Calvin Austin being healthy and being everything you thought he was going to be. That's why for me, like probably pick 49 or pick 80, especially with their reputation for drafting guys, I'm absolutely taking the best wide receiver that's there at 80 that like fits what I want to do. And I think they do like the bigger guys in the slot, don't you? I think they like the guys more built like a Juju who has that sort of bully sort of vibe in the slot rather than the shifty, the little dude.
Well, they need a guy for jet sweeps.
Little Calvin Austin.
They need to get a guy on the field that's going to get you the Matt Canada 5 to 6 jet sweeps a game.
Well, isn't that Calvin Austin? You could practically hide him behind offensive linemen. Just tell him to squat down and he'll be invisible. But, like, I just think it's an interesting – I think the question ends up becoming, do you want to try to build for this year? Yes, but really build for years 3, 4, and 5 with Kenny Pickett? Or do you think that you have good enough talent on that offensive line now that you try to load up with a weapon that maybe makes him a better player than he otherwise would be in year two because they catch everything? I'm also not completely sold that Hopkins is still Hopkins, like of 2020. I'm not totally convinced. He's not young. He's in his early 30s. That's not where wide receivers fall off a cliff.
No, and he's got a gigantic cap hit. You would need Arizona to absorb a ton of that in a trade, and I wouldn't even really give up that much.
He's going to be 31 this year. He's going to be 31 years old. Like, I'm not positive DeAndre Hopkins is vintage DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't know, but even as I say this out loud, I have to run it through the filter of if I found out 5 minutes from now the Steelers traded their second-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, I'd be going crazy. I'd be going nuts because it's the same thing with Patrick Peterson. If I'm going to say that a 33-year-old corner has a shot to be a great player again, what? I'm going to say that a 33-year-old wide receiver can't? And they're both.
I mean, Hopkins
all pro type guys.
Yeah, Hopkins is a physical freak who, in theory,
he was a 3-time all pro.
He makes everything easier for you, for everybody.
He's got
else in
he's
your
the
offense.
Opposite of Kenny. His hands are huge.
No, he's got two.
They
baseball
had to make
gloves.
Special gloves for his hands. Exactly.
Do you think he wouldn't want to? He doesn't have a no trade clause, but he'd come here and say, "Wait a minute, I can't respect a man with hands that small."
The trade clause is gone because he was taking the PEDs.
I'm saying he wouldn't have a choice in the matter, but then he'd be bummed out when he was coming to Pittsburgh. He'd say, "I can't catch
when
a ball thrown by those tiny little hands."
When I met him at the Super Bowl, I made an instant connection with the guy. I could tell when I met DeAndre Hopkins that the two of us could get along, and he would.
Did you shake his
so
hand well. And like your hand got lost in there, like Andre Giant holding
went
a beer
up to
can?
My elbow.
Yeah,
it was just
like a soccer goalie's glove. I don't know, man. I'm weirdly torn. I love the idea of them taking a tackle and truly building it through the trenches and then using their expertise at finding wide receivers in the draft to try to get one.
Text us on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. Follow us on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. I've always wanted to know this. This stat got posted today for every team. Last year, not like a rating that people can't understand. How many people... Oh, protests in France over change in retirement age. Channel 11's just showing this on TV to tweak me. There's no reason why Pittsburghers need to see this in the 4 o'clock news. Susan Copen.
I'm sorry. I just looked up and
I'm hearing
you tease.
You're so sorry. You're laughing hysterically about it.
I am not. If you were going to France by yourself for some reason, wholeheartedly laughing at you. Feel terrible for Amanda. That's how it is for me.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good time to review your auto and home insurance with Buell. How big of a move is the guard the Steelers brought in from the Eagles, Isaac Seumalo? So many people cite the PFF grade because there's no stats to go by with offensive linemen. I don't think pancakes is an official stat.
Should be.
Pancakes don't get listed on Pro Football Reference. You get a football card with a guard on it. They don't have pancake totals on the back.
Just a big picture of Bisquick.
So
I think it should have like a little cartoon picture of a pancake and then just like a number.
Syrup and some butter.
Or some butter melting on
or
there.
Or just like little pancakes and like you have like 6 of them. That's how many the guy had.
I like this. Like a short stack is a pretty good player, a big tall
so
stack.
So Steve Palazzolo is going to tell us how good Seumalo is in a few minutes. I found this graphic today to be just for a nerd like me, I love this stuff. Because all of these regional sports networks are going bankrupt, like AT&T Sportsnet here in Pittsburgh. But we found out earlier this week that, hey, we're going to keep broadcasting the Penguins games through the playoffs, and we're going to do the entire Pirate season this year. At least that's what ESPN reported a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a graphic that went out today from a guy who covers this kind of stuff for Forbes. And he listed all 30 baseball teams. And on the left, he listed how much each team pays for game, or how much each channel pays for games, and then how many people watched on a nightly basis.
Okay.
So, for example, this is interesting. Dodgers, Sportsnet LA, $196 million a year. $196 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
120,000 people each night watch the Dodgers.
Isn't that a number that's still impacted by the fact that like Time Warner Cable is in a big dispute there?
I know that used to be the case. I'm not sure if it is anymore.
Like where like they were only getting carried in a minute percentage
Yankees,
of cable households.
Yankees, $143 million a year. 231,000 people a night watch Yankee games. It's by far the biggest number.
Households.
Yes, households. Yeah. Well, it says, average household viewership.
So you might have a couple people watching.
231,000 households.
Boy, the Dodgers are not getting banged for their
buck. So Yankees were 1 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies, 2. 131,000 households.
For how much
money? Oh, no, wait, no, that's wrong. Mets were two. 180,000. So Yankees won, Mets two.
How much is the
New
Mets
York's
deal?
A baseball town. $88 million.
Real good bang for the buck there.
Yep.
They're paying, they're getting almost, actually they're getting more. They're getting two households for every $1 million.
Here's the worst ROI. You ready?
Oh boy.
Marlins, $49 million a year. $49 million a year.
Let me guess it. 1,400 households.
No, it's not that bad, dude. 11,000 a night.
They're paying $4 million plus for every 1,000 households.
11,000 households. Let's say it's two people in every house on average. Mm-hmm. That's still only 22,000 people.
Yeah, it's bad.
That is just atrocious.
They have that goofy ballpark, you know, where they held the WBC, and it's going to be the loudest, most raucous crowd
they have. I'll give you one that's not much better, bro. Washington Nationals on Masson, they pay $61 million a year, 21,000 households. That's it. All right, so the Pirates. AT&T Sportsnet.
That's a huge part of the country, too.
AT&T Sportsnet, $61 million a year.
So just... for the record, they got the same amount of money for the TV deal that Washington, D.C. has, and that's a market that's like twice the population.
According to this guy from Forbes.
Maybe three times the population,
according
actually.
To this guy from Forbes, yeah.
Who is this guy?
Rich. No, Mike Ozanin.
Okay. Now, for the $61 million a year that the Pirates are getting, that AT&T Sportsnet is forking over, how many thousands of households?
28,000.
I crushed Donnie on Price is Right rules then. I'm good.
You saw this graphic and guessed one off before.
No, I didn't.
No?
Dead serious. Hand to God. Just guessing.
28,000. So where does that rank?
I mean, it's better than the value the Nationals are getting.
No, I'm saying like in terms of like...
households.
Households. So Diamondbacks only 20. Reds 27,000. Rockies, 15,000. Brutal.
What are the Brewers doing?
Marlins, 11,000.
What's the Brewers?
Brewers, 43,000. This is interesting. Last year in Chicago, more people watched White Sox games than Cubs games. 58,000 White Sox, 57,000 Cubs.
Where's Cleveland at?
Cleveland, 59,000.
Wow.
So Bally Sports Great Lakes is the channel. They paid $55 million a year for the Guardians games and 59,000 people every night. 59,000 households.
That's over twice what the Pirates are getting. And, they were really good last year, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an illustration of where people they could easily
people
get
love,
to.
People love watching winning baseball. I mean, I think the one that really gets me is Milwaukee, who has, I think, more than almost any small market, continually and very transparently told its fans like when it's investing, how it's investing, why it's doing what it's doing.
Yep.
And they're not good every year, but they're in the mid-40s, basically. I think that's the real, like, gold standard. They just clip along steadily.
51,000 households for the Padres. So it's not a lot of people watching. But they're getting less money than the Pirates. $47 million, Bally Sports San Diego. And they're still spending all that dough. They're not even getting big TV money.
Well, that's why secretly I think baseball is probably furious with what's his name out there?
The owner?
Yeah, I can't
remember. Bally Sports Southwest, the Rangers. They pay $111 million a year for Texas Rangers baseball. 21,000 households. That's the worst one, actually. Well, that is just
I was just going to say
atrocious.
They're paying $5 million plus for every 1,000 households. The Marlins are paying a full million less, basically. This is why this bubble is bursting, right? This is the reason.
There aren't really, at the end of the day, there's really not that many people watching every game, unless you're the Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Astros, Phillies.
The Astros, you know what else is interesting? The Astros for a long time were a team that would do like a 0.1.
Yeah, remember they had like
no
they registered
TV rating.
Zero
yeah.
rating.
But then they cheated, you know, got their way to the top, banged on trash cans.
When they had those years in the NL Central with the Pirates where they were losing 100-plus games,
They had a payroll
that I think was less than Alex Rodriguez's entire salary.
Yeah. Oh, they... I don't know. We always talk about tanking. I don't think a team's ever tanked in any sport like the Astros did for a couple years straight.
And they've won 2 World Series, Malzi. 2 big pieces of metal.
Commissioner Manfred here for this meaningful trophy.
You know, one more quick side note here. Mm-hmm. I saw Adam Wainwright starting the year on the IL for the Cardinals because he got hurt in the World Baseball Classic.
Yes.
Everyone's going crazy about the World Baseball Classic and how much fun it was. If the Pirates were supposed to be really good, and David Bednar blew out his arm in the World Baseball Classic,
no one here would be talking about how much they enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they should have it in the middle of the season and completely eliminate the All-Star break in years where they're doing the WBC.
I like that.
Just wipe it out.
How about in those years maybe play like 154 games or something like that?
I said this with Pomp last night because he asked me on the sports call. I said, have 144, whatever, shortened season, blow out the All-Star break completely, and just like hockey does around the middle or two-thirds mark of its year, have this time off. Everyone will be stretched out and ready to go.
Cole Holcomb talked to Steelers media today. He'll be a fan favorite at first because he has a mullet.
What did he say about that mullet? Shaving it or anything like that? Getting rid of that rat
tail? It ain't going anywhere. I did trim it up a little bit at the end of the season. I think it was getting a little too long. You know, it's like almost as long as my wife's hair. So I was like, okay, we gotta trim it up and start new. But no, I mean, it's definitely become, you know, part of the brand, part of
the brand, you
know, what I am, and it's kind of grown on me. I loved it. I mean, I wouldn't cut it for my wedding. So I don't plan on cutting it anytime soon.
Kept it for the wedding.
Do you think I should get Lennox going on the mullet train? Because Lennox has like the really nice straight blonde hair, so we keep it. But we generally put it up in like a, you know, man bun style.
Yeah. Go for it.
Here's the problem with it. When I do it, it looks like, you know, like a ponytail or something. I'm not good at it. Alex rolls it up real nice and tight. But I think if he ever says, "Mom, Dad, I'm ready for like a haircut," I say, "Son, I'd like to show you some pictures. Would you like hair like this? Business in the front, party in the back. A Lennox Muller mullet."
Did you have a mullet when you were in like first, second grade?
No, but I'll tell you what. There was a certain kind of kid who had the rat tail. Just had that little tail
of
hair.
I had one of those.
And you would have been exactly the kind of kid
first
I envisioned.
Grade.
Frankly, Donnie, don't take this the
nope,
wrong way.
Did not have one.
I would I have pegged you as a rat tail man through and through.
Nah, John Football would never allow that. I've had short hair my entire life.
But the
life.
Rat tail, what, the whole point of the rat tail was your whole head was
short.
Oh, I
know.
And then you had a little curl of just nasty-looking hair going down
Steve
the back.
Yeah, that always looked worse than the mullet.
From Pro Football Focus has great hair, nice and curly. Steve, do your kids have good hair too?
Yeah, I mean, it's all crazy curly hair, all of them. So, yeah. I mean, it's whatever I have. That gets a lot of different opinions, not going to lie. So,
did you ever have...
Your hair gets a lot of different opinions?
Wait, yeah, your hair does?
It's universally loved.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You've got great hair.
Thank you.
What is this, a mock draft on hair where there's people trying to down talk your hair?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. You know, the kids may have picked on me back in the day about my curly hair, and sometimes the adults do now too.
No, but you were you always a tall guy? Were you always one of the biggest kids in class?
Yeah, and then people caught up to me in middle school, and then I grew like 5 inches 1 year, and yeah.
See, this is you were a benevolent kid then, because if I were in your shoes, I'd have just been caving faces and, oh, you don't like my curly hair? How about this fist? It's not very curly.
Yeah, anyway. I was soft. I definitely could have redone some things.
Steve, how good is Isaac Seumalo as far as guards go?
He's one of the better guards in the league. I like this move a lot. I was just looking him up. Top 12 most valuable guard in 2 out of the last 4 seasons. In 2021, he missed time. He was hurt. He was probably on his way to doing that year as well. So very good pass protector. I liked him quite a bit coming out of Oregon State way back when he came out for the draft, and I thought pass protection would be his calling card. It took him about 3 or 4 years, but he became one of the better pass protecting guards in the league, and he's a good run blocker. So I like Seumalo quite a bit.
Steve, what do you make of now the glut of interior linemen that they have? Like, if you're picking left guard, center, and right guard, you've got Seumalo, you've got Herbig, you've still got Kevin Dotson in there, although he feels like a benched man walking. You've got Mason Cole, you've got James Daniels. What's the best right-to-left look, or left-to-right look there?
Yeah, so I think Seumalo at left guard with James Daniels probably staying at right guard, and then I would keep Mason Cole at center. And I think, yeah, Dotson probably is the odd man out. And I think Herbig's more of a swing type of guard center option anyway. And then, you know, Kendrick Green still lurking around. But I think it's...
Oh, he's going to be lurking around the unemployment line, I think, sooner rather than later.
At least for now he is. But, yeah, it's good depth.
How would you rank... So the five starters, Moore, Sayamalu, Cole, Daniels, and Chooks. How would you rank those five linemen from best of the bunch to worst of the bunch?
Probably go Sayamalu, Daniels, Cole, Chooks, and Moore. So the I get the tackles at the bottom.
So they still need some real help at the edges there, huh?
I think they do. I mean, they've rolled with both of those guys over the last couple of years. I would like to see some improvement there. I know they invested in Chooks a couple of years ago, and Dan Moore has gotten a little bit better, but I still think there's definitely room for improvement to me at both tackle spots.
When you're looking at a tackle or any offensive lineman, like when you, I don't know if anyone's ever even asked you something like this. Do you get the sense when you talk to people or when you observe the way guys develop in the NFL that it's easier to teach a guy how to run block if they're weaker there, or easier to teach a guy how to pass block better than maybe they do coming out of college?
That's a good question. I haven't looked at it specifically through that lens. I've looked at offensive line development through a bigger lens, which is it does take them 3 or 4 years overall to just get better in both areas, whatever it might be. So I think that's one of those. I think that's one of those things, like football axioms that people kind of knew, that you need experience maybe on the offensive line, but our numbers have backed it up. So specifically run versus pass block, I'm not really sure, but I do know a guy like Dan Moore could take a jump and to become an average plus type of starter in a given year, and it wouldn't be that big of a surprise because we've seen that historically, that linemen will get better in years 3, 4, 5.
Steve, better pick for the Steelers at 17 if it's an if or situation, Broderick Jones or Joey Porter Jr.?
Oh, man. I usually lean to the corner. I can't remember what I told you guys a few weeks ago. For consistency's sake, I usually lean corner, and I did, you know, get to watch Joey Porter Jr. a little bit over the last few weeks. I do really like him. I like him as a press man corner. I'd give a slight lean to Joey Porter Jr. because I think the upside of cornerback is a little bit higher than tackle, even though I just told you got to improve your tackles, and I think Broderick Jones probably steps in and can steal that left tackle spot from Dan Moore. But I'll say Joey Porter. If they the upgrade there.
Say they were to do that then and they get DeJuan Jones, who's a pure right tackle, is my understanding, the other guy at Ohio State besides Paris Johnson Jr., and plug him in and just say, okay, he's our right tackle now. How much would that help this offensive line? Is that even a move that you would do, or would you try to get a guy like DeJuan Jones if you drafted him, Steve, and you had a need at left tackle and actually try to teach him that position?
Yeah, I don't think the left tackle, right tackle thing means anything as far as what's more valuable in the NFL. I don't think it actually matters. The only risk there is that DeJuan Jones has mostly played right tackle. Like, it's a physical adjustment to move from right to left, but it's not a value adjustment. If you're asking me, would you take Joey Porter Jr. and then at 32 grab DeJuan Jones, is that a good move? I love that. I mean, I think any team, I think in the 26, 27 to 35 range or beyond, I love DeJuan Jones in that area. Again, I think the right tackle is just as important as left tackle in today's NFL. And I think DeJuan Jones can run block. I think he's got that, obviously he's massive. He's got that anchor as a pass protector. And even though he doesn't move that great, I think he makes up for it with his just monstrous size.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, our guest. Are the Steelers making a mistake by not even showing any interest in OBJ?
I don't think so. I mean, I generally just play the on paper game, which is if you add OBJ on paper, boy, is that an upgrade, right? On paper, he comes in, forget about who's wide receiver one and two or whatever. It just makes you tough to cover, right? Go cover Deontay Johnson and George Pickens and OBJ and Freiermuth up the middle. Go cover those guys. The only thing I'll say about OBJ is, as I looked back on Baker Mayfield's career, that doesn't make any sense. You know, Baker Mayfield playing worse when he had OBJ, playing better when he didn't have him. I don't think that happens. I don't think that's a consistent thing, but there's always that little bit of risk, you know, sometimes where you have certain types of receivers and maybe you don't get that quality distributor type of play from the quarterback. Maybe he's forcing too many, not seeing things the way he should. But on paper, give me more playmakers, more guys who get open, more ways to win, more matchups to exploit, and I think that's always a good thing.
Is a healthy OBJ still a number one type receiver in the NFL, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's probably like a lower end of one. You know, I think at any given point right here now, there's 15 to 20 what I would consider wide receiver ones, and the top five or six are just absolute game changers. Those three guys that moved last year, A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, those types of guys who I think you saw their impact either in their new landing spot or where they left. So I think there's 15 to 20 of those wide receiver one types, and maybe OBJ's at the bottom end. It maybe he's more of a wide receiver two, but either way, you add him to, say, the Steelers, even if there's not a definitive number one there, there's three really good receivers that you have to cover, and I think that's still a win.
What would be the most you would be willing to give up as a GM for DeAndre Hopkins, Steve?
I think you can rework the deal and push some money around. I don't think the draft pick ask is going to be that high, but assuming you can get the cap hits down, I think they're at 19 and 15 or something, or 17 and 15, something to that effect. I think, you know, I'd give up a second because I think that's extremely valuable, but I don't even know if that's where the market is. I think it's maybe even lower than that.
If the Steelers could trade their third round pick for him, would you do that?
Absolutely. I absolutely would. I mean, the payoff of having DeAndre Hopkins is out of this world. Even if he gets banged up or has to deal with some stuff, I mean, just the potential payout of having him on the field, and again, taking a little bit of pressure off Pickens, a little bit of pressure off Deontay Johnson and the entire passing attack. And then we've seen, you know, the Joe Burrows of the world, Deshaun Watson, who had Nuke Hopkins, all those first contract quarterbacks, their development really did coincide with, you know, an alpha wide receiver. And so if you want to get the most out of Kenny, I think it helps having more options to throw to.
Steve, if they don't go the veteran option, if they weren't to make a splashy move like that, like a DeAndre Hopkins deal, who is a wide receiver, and it doesn't seem like they're going to pick one at 17, who is somebody in this draft class that just screams, ah, yes, that is a wideout that the Steelers would draft and make us all look silly when that guy blossoms into a star?
I mean, well, that's at least the one advantage that the Steelers have is they always seem to hit on their receivers, so that's a good starting point. I really like Josh Downs from North Carolina. I like
Mike Renner told us the same thing. You guys must be looking at the same set of notes, Steve.
He also swore at us yesterday. Not at us, but swore as a result of one of my questions yesterday. And he was very apologetic about it.
Yeah, that sounds right. You gotta watch Renner.
He was also bragging about eating steaks at Jeff Ruby's. He was going on and on about that with us.
Oh, look at that. Well, yeah. That's what we do here in Cincinnati. Just go to Jeff Ruby's every night over here. I'm going to the Pirates game next week, by the way. Going to opening day over here in Cincinnati. Yeah. I won't be by the way, I can't do radio next week. You guys are probably doing the game anyway.
Yeah, we have the game.
Yeah.
Perfect.
If you caught in for your radio hit at 4
something,
you'd hear
nothing.
I think
you should go up with the Pirates broadcasters and start telling them about your DeAndre Hopkins trade idea. That would probably do well.
Do you think you could get me into the broadcast booth? I'm a regular, you know, I'll do an inning with those guys.
That would be unbelievable. And then you just drop on them that, by the way, I played minor league baseball. I was a pitcher coming downhill from 6'10". By the way, did you like the World Baseball Classic? Are you a fan of this?
Yeah, I thought it was all exciting, great baseball, incredible moment with Shohei and Trout. I thought it was fun.
Is Shohei Ohtani the greatest baseball player who's ever lived, Steve?
He might be. He really might be. It is unbelievable what he's able to do. It's crazy. Yeah, he might be. Him and Babe Ruth.
All right, so just to make sure we finish up that last point, you said Josh Downs is the receiver for you, Steve.
Rashee Rice from SMU, maybe as a guy to take a look at. I think he was playing hurt last year. He's got really good contested catch type skills. Maybe a little redundant to George Pickens, and then I just see Renner finally put Michael Wilson from Stanford a little bit higher on the draft board. It's about time. He's up to top 70 player on our board now, Michael Wilson.
Yeah, he liked him in the third round.
I liked him quite a bit.
Steve, what about Cedric Tillman? I heard his name. Like, this process is so goofy because you hear names and teams connected very early. Like when the Super Bowl ends, then Monday you hear, you know, the Steelers could really use Cedric Tillman from Tennessee or something like that. Has that cooled? Is he somebody that fits what they want?
Receivers are interesting because, yeah, I mean, he's lower on our board, but I've seen him really high on others. I think he's a good player coming off of an injury. He probably would have had a huge year last year. So predicting wide receivers sometimes is tough. Tillman is definitely a guy I'd take a shot on. I'd also take a shot on Marvin Mims from Oklahoma. I like him a little bit. I like the Penn State guys, Parker Washington, Mitchell Tinsley as day three type of players. So there's a few, I think, middle rounds that are that might be interesting here.
PFF Steve on Twitter, and it'll be at Pirates Reds on Thursday. If you see a 6'10", curly-haired man, it's Steve. Thank you, Steve.
That's me. Yeah, come say hi.
Buy him a beer. Actually, buy him popcorn. Buy him a hot dog. Buy him something like that at the game.
Perfect. What is the best ballpark snack of those? Nachos, hot dog, popcorn, soft pretzel. You can only it's one of those you can only choose one Twitter graphic, Steve.
I'll go nachos, but a lot of time they kind of mail them in at the ballpark. But theoretically, it should be nachos.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.